This edition of The Standard is brought to you by the AXA Startup Angel Competition. I'm Sharmadine Reed, founder and CEO of The Stack World, and I'm here to help you turn your business dream into reality. There are six chances to win the competition, including two top prizes of £25,000, mentoring from myself and leading UK founders, plus business insurance for a year thanks to AXA. Go to standard.co.uk/AXA Startup Angel for details on how to enter and complete your entry by the 2nd of June 2024. Good luck.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
From London, I'm Rochelle Travers, and this is The Standard. The reaction to the spring budget keeps coming.
What I did yesterday was show how we're growing the economy, how our plan is working.
Well, I did call it a bottom of the barrel budget because it won't touch the sides for millions of struggling families.
The Office of Budget Responsibility, who are the arbiter of all things budget related, showed yesterday that by the end of the Parliament, living standards will be lower than they were when people last went to the polls.
The voices there of the Chancellor Jeremy Hunt, leader of the Liberal Democrats Sir Ed Davey, and Shadow Chancellor Rachel Reeves. Clips courtesy of BBC Breakfast. Yesterday was Mr Hunt's last budget before the general election, and potentially one of the Conservatives' last chances to move the political dial. The further cut to national insurance has dominated most of the headlines since, but a topic close to any Londoner's heart is housing and property. Stamp duty, non-dom status, capital gains tax, regeneration schemes and a crackdown on short-term rentals were all in there yesterday. But just what exactly does it all mean for you? Here to take a deep dive into all the housing and property-related announcements from the budget is India Block, The Standard's Homes and Property Deputy Editor. India, Jeremy Hunt delivered his budget yesterday. Let's go through each of the housing and property-related announcements now. First of all, stamp duty.
Right, so everyone was hoping for a holiday from stamp duty land tax, or, you know, perhaps even a raising of the cap. That didn't happen. Instead, some relief from stamp duty has been abolished. We've had multiple dwellings relief canned. And so that is in an instance where someone is buying many homes at once. So we're assuming a landlord would get a discount on their stamp duty. Apparently, an independent investigation found that this system had been regularly abused. So it's good that that's going if it wasn't playing out as it had been hoped. But I think generally a feeling of disappointment there. First-time buyers currently only get relief from stamp duty if they're buying a house that's under £425,000. It's quite a lot of money, but for Londoners, that's well below the average property price. So if you, especially if you're saving with one of the government's saving schemes, such as a lifetime ISA, you are limited again in that sense. So also, I think, disappointing for downsizers who were hoping that perhaps they could free up some money, get rid of some extra bedrooms. So a kind of a very strange way into stamp duty there.
And non-dom status was also abolished. Just tell us about that.
Yeah, this one was a bit of a shocker. Estate agents were pretty horrified, I think, when news of this leaked the week before the budget. And I think it was surprising that they actually went through it. So London's prime property market, so your kind of £2 million and above homes, they really rely on overseas investment. Obviously, that's quite controversial, but that is what keeps the top end of the market moving. It's already been walloped by Brexit, by political uncertainty, kind of not knowing what new taxes might be brought in, and obviously crackdowns on money laundering and sanctions against Russian oligarchs with the situation in Ukraine. So getting rid of non-dom tax status is also perhaps another message that wealthy overseas buyers are not as welcome here. The 4 years grace period that they're bringing in, I suppose, allows you to try before you buy, perhaps. And as the government says, it means we're competitive with other cities around Europe, but we are in increasing competition, especially the financial sector. Paris is really driving to take away some of our higher paid bankers. This might be another thing that puts them off renting or buying London's most expensive home. So I think for the prime agents, this was a bit of a blow.
Capital gains tax now.
So they have reduced capital gain tax for the highest property rate from 28% to 24%. And that's a 4% drop, which is quite sizable. So capital gains tax is paid on the profit made at the sale of an asset with properties. Obviously, this can be quite hefty. If you've bought your house in London 10, 20, 30 years ago, it will have gone up in value by a serious amount. If you want to downsize, that could really take a chunk out of your profit. And at the moment, we know that there's lots of people whose children have maybe grown up, moved out, who still have the extra bedrooms, who would like to downsize, but actually financially, that does not make sense for them. So this could get people moving. Again, weird that they haven't done a stamp duty holiday to go with it. There's also landlords who might be looking to get out of the industry. They might sell up for this. Second homeowners, they might be more keen to sell. This means more stock coming onto the market, which agents are very happy about. But whether these houses would be bought by first-time buyers, bought by other people looking for bigger homes to start their families, the second steppers, that's not sure. They could be snapped up by even bigger landlords. So waiting to see what happens there. But I think this was the one that had the least negative reaction to it. So faint praise.
And there were some regeneration schemes in there too, weren't there?
Yeah, these were curious. And I wonder how Michael Gove feels, because some of them, I think all of them, were already in the pipeline and it's not entirely sure where the money is going. So apparently there's £242 million earmarked for the Barking and Riverside scheme and for Canary Wharf. Barking and Riverside is interesting. It's almost halfway finished. It's a 2 kilometre stretch along the River Thames. It's going to be a new overground, new schools. Hunt said that this is going towards 7,200 new homes. Not sure if that's on top of the 10,000 or so that were already planned, whether this is an extension or whether they're just putting more funding towards it. Likewise, Canary Wharf, 350 more homes. It's a drop in the ocean of the housing crisis we're currently experiencing. Also, I can't see there being much sympathy for Canary Wharf and the people who live there and their investors, which include the Qatar Investment Authority. There was also sort of buried in the budget documents, so not what was spoken about in the House of Commons, £4 million that's going towards the Euston Housing Delivery Group. This is an interesting one. Again, one of Gove's projects. They are planning to build 10,000 homes on the site that was earmarked for the HS2 terminus. Obviously, scrapping HS2 was an entirely different thing. I guess they're trying to make some good news out of bad. But this was something that was announced weeks ago. This wasn't something that was new to the budget. So they do really seem to be going around scraping the bottom of the barrel to prove that, as Hunt tried to say, building homes for young people is a priority. There's no kind of sign that these are definitely for young people or that even these are new schemes. There was also £20 million that's going towards community-led developments. Again, very unclear what this is. Community-led projects can be really good, especially when you have people who want to regenerate an area that they're living in, build more houses, getting people on board. There used to be funding back in the 60s and 70s for architects to do these kind of feasibility studies to meet residents, to find out what they needed from homes. So if this is the kind of project that's going to fund, that's good. But again, it was almost a throwaway line in the budget, and we're not sure how that's going to turn out yet.
and there was a crackdown on short-term rentals.
Yeah, so this is a victory for London. I mean, it'll also play out in places like Cornwall, Wales, where there's a lot of short-term holiday rentals. But this is a really serious issue for central London residents and councils. Westminster has about 12,000 short-term lets currently. And so these are the places that are going on your Airbnbs, these kind of platforms. Obviously, tourism is a draw, but this is a double-edged sword. There's a lot of noise complaints. It can be very hard for full-time residents to have people coming in and out who aren't necessarily respectful of the rubbish rules or noise. Also, every property that is being rented out on these short-term bases, that is a longer-term rental that is taken off the market. It's very attractive for landlords at the moment to do it as a short-term let. You can make a lot more money that way, renting out a night at a time. This is obviously going to put them off. So the furnished holiday lettings relief allows you to deduct the full cost of your mortgage interest from any of the rental income that you're making. You'd also already get a lower capital gains tax if you decided to sell your property on. So this may put off these landlords that are moving from longer tenancies to doing these rental platforms. However, there is some concern. There's going to be an amnesty period, and people who've been on the fence about whether they're going to kick out their long-term tenants, start renting on Airbnb, this might push them over the edge, and they're going to try and rush through before these changes come into practice. So I think that will be something to watch, whether it actually addresses the issue. But this is definitely a congratulations to the campaigners who've been really pushing for more of these kind of crackdowns on the short-term let system.
Let's go to the ads. The Standard podcast will be back in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back. Still with me is India Block, the Standard's Homes and Property Deputy Editor. Probably know the answer to this one already, but was there enough in the budget to help tackle the housing issues that the country, and indeed London in particular, faces?
No, definitely not. We've got a huge renting crisis. Rents up 6 or 7%, and that's average with hearing from people whose rents, whose maintenance costs are going up in 30% hikes. I myself recently had to move because my landlord tried to put the rent up by 50%. It's really intense for people out there. It's very hard to get on the property ladder. People who are on the ladder are struggling with mortgage costs, with the cost of living crisis. There is so much that could be done. And in those areas that would have been a win, I mean, it's an election year. Perhaps they weren't going to announce something like Help to Buy or Shared Ownership, which have their own issues, but at least prove that the government is listening to this crisis. At the same time, we have councils who are going bankrupt because they're spending all of their money putting people in temporary accommodation. We have no council housing. We have families being kept in shipping containers that are falling apart. We have children who are dying because of the poor conditions of the temporary accommodation. It's a real shocker that none of this was really addressed in the budget. You know, perhaps some things might change, but for very few people. Yeah, no. So I think the general consensus is, and this is not just from the commenters, I was at a site visit this morning and someone from the property industry was telling me how horrified they were that there was nothing, because the construction industry, that is a huge part of British industry. There's all of the suppliers, designers, workers that go into building more homes, to not put anything towards home building. That is also very disappointing for those people on the other side of the industry.
You can read more on this story and others in the Evening Standard newspaper or on our website, standard.co.uk. And that's it from this episode. This podcast will be back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.